Gather round wizards, it's time to explore. A world full of magic, we're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On broomsticks and butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the sorting hat to the wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know.
Welcome back to another edition of Broomsticks and Butterbeer, episode number 170. I'm Dan Rhino.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
And we are continuing our journey through the final book in the the Harry Potter saga, that being Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Appreciate everybody joining us for this journey. Last time we talked about chapter 7, today we're going to talk about chapter 8. The wedding, and I think it's appropriate that today's...
I didn't even think of it until you said the name of the chapter, and then it all clicked in my brain.
Is it okay if I talk now?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I got excited. Good heavens.
The chapter today is called The Wedding, and it is our wedding anniversary today.
It is.
July 5th, 2026 is when we are recording this. If you're listening to this in the future, that means nothing to you. But
they know what July 5th is.
Yeah, but
it's
like
the day after the 4th of July.
If you're listening to it as these episodes come out, which is kind of on an irregular schedule, you're kind of experiencing it live with us. But that doesn't take away from those that are listening to this 10 years down the road in 2036, if the Earth is still here.
Who knows?
But it is our 23-year wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary. Made you some frozen butterbeer for the occasion.
Yes.
Frozen butterbeer, our recipe is on YouTube. If you just type in easy frozen butterbeer recipe, you'll probably find it.
You have a note on there about the A&W?
No. So in the recipe that is online, I have like the pictured, like before you get started, the items that you need. And A&W cream soda is pictured. We have tried it with off-brand cream sodas. Not the same.
Not the same.
A&W just hits.
It needs to be A&W.
Yeah, I think.
If you really want to enjoy it, if you want just like, you know, wah-wah butterbeer, then go ahead.
I agree, but stick with the name brand A&W.
It's amazing.
It is. So last time, Chapter 7, The Will of Albus Dumbledore. It was Harry's 17th birthday, which means Harry is officially a wizarding adult. Jenny and Harry are still being lovey-dovey with each other, even though Harry ended the relationship. Rufus Scrimgeour, the Minister of Magic, shows up and wants to meet with Harry, Ron, and Hermione about what Dumbledore left them in his will. Ron gets a Deluminator, Harry gets a copy of The Tales of Beedle the Bard, and Harry gets the first golden snitch that he ever caught. And is supposed to get the Sword of Gryffindor before Rufus says it wasn't Dumbledore's property to give. Rufus is at the end of his wizarding rope. Wizarding rope. Wizarding rope. Wizarding rope.
I think your mouth is partially frozen from the frozen butter.
It is. It's very.
It might have been a mistake. Maybe we should have had it after we recorded.
I'm kind of playing with a handicap right now, as the butterscotch coats my throat. Wizarding rope wants to know why Dumbledore left our trio these items and accuses our heroes of withholding information. Man, I'm struggling today. Rufus even loses his temper and burns a hole in Harry's t-shirt.
Rude.
Harry gets a cryptic message from the snitch, which just makes him more confused. Plus, we've got a wedding coming up, which is what we're going to talk about today. That being Chapter 8. The aforementioned wedding. Jess, it's finally time for the wedding of Bill Weasley and Fleur Delacour. The Weasley family home has been transformed into a beautiful outdoor venue. And despite Dumbledore trying to take over the world, the mood is pretty festive.
Do you recall there was a moment where I was like, maybe we should just get married in your parents' backyard? You totally vetoed that. But there was a moment.
I don't remember why I vetoed it.
Because it would make your mom
crazy. Oh, yeah, that's it.
Your mom, because she is Mrs. Weasley, would behave much like Mrs. Weasley has been behaving. Yeah,
it would have taken 10 years off her life planning that. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
I just was thinking very simple, backyard, wedding, mm-hmm. barbecue, and then somebody vetoed that too because I didn't want barbecue sauce on my wedding dress. And I figured that was inevitable if we had people running
around. Yeah, but we could have made it cute. Could have got you like a cute bib or something.
No, worried about me. I'd be worried about a hug.
Ah, somebody coming fingers. Up with saucy fingers.
Sauce fingers, yeah.
With some sweet baby rays on their the tips of their fingers.
If y'all aren't aware, we are in the Midwest and we like our barbecue.
We do love our barbecue. And there's always a battle between Kansas City and St. Louis.
For who has the better barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, can't we just both have a lot of barbecue? And that's fine because barbecue is great.
I have to admit that I've never eaten barbecue. I've been to Kansas City, never had barbecue there.
Yeah.
But kind of like the running joke is that in Missouri, Kansas City has the best barbecue. Well, St. Louis will tell you that it has the best barbecue. But hey, it's hard to mess up barbecue. It really is.
St. Louis sauce.
Because it's all about the sauce, Jess. It's all about the sauce.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the actual meat or the grill. It's the sauce.
It really is. They'll tell you that, no, it's the way we prepare it, and it's the rubs that we put on it, and how it's marinated. I don't think so. I think it comes down to the sauce.
Well, it's still then it's sauce adjacent if it's marinating and rubbing. It's
sauce adjacent.
It is basically other sauce.
If we had
dry sauce.
If we had titles for our episodes like you have over on the Book Cave podcast, Sauce Adjacent would be the episode 170. Unfortunately, Jess, bad news, Harry Potter isn't able to attend this wedding.
Oh, so he just like sits in his room the whole time?
Well, I was going to ask you, why is it not a good idea for Harry to be visible at the wedding? And how did we get around this?
Well, I figured, one, they just didn't want the ruckus taking away the focus of the wet of the bride.
I didn't think of that. Room.
Two, yeah, you probably didn't want everybody leaving and being like, hey, we saw Harry Potter at that wedding at the Weasley's house.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like brings the connection. I mean, everybody knows that Harry is buddy-buddy with Ron and is basically another Weasley, but they're kind of trying to pretend that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, oh no, Ron's not off running around with Harry Potter. He's upstairs sick. No, you know, why the kids didn't go back to school and this and that. You don't want to broadcast that you're hanging out, that you've got the Dark Lord's Most Wanted hanging out at your house.
So what's the plan to get around that?
Some random guy in town.
In Otter St. Catchpole, or whatever it's called.
Apparently there's a bunch of redheads over there, too. And they accioed some hair from him and made a polyjuice potion. And
sorry.
The butterbeer went down the wrong pipe.
I took a big drink and, like, I think a chunk of butterscotch... Like, got on my uvula.
Okay, sorry, everybody. We will not drink butterbeer.
My goodness.
While we record
and it's my fault because I was waiting for you to start talking so I could just take a massive drink of it.
Like, I'm going to ask her a question so I can chug my butterbeer.
And I did. It's so good. It's kind of like, a really good Slurpee on a hot day. Mm-hmm. And you want to just devour it. And then the brain freeze comes.
Yeah.
No brain freeze here.
But a chunk of butterscotch in your throat.
But I was gagging. All right. So Ron Accio'd, Accio random redhead.
Yeah. And,
lock.
Got him some hair and made him some butterbeer. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is derailing our
It is. It's like
podcast.
We're intoxicated.
Well, it's a sugar apart. High for sure.
I'm crying. This is just a it's a memorable
anniversary. Made some polyjuice potions. Yeah. So Harry is
Barney.
Barney? Yeah. Barney? Barry?
I think it's Barney.
Okay, somebody keeps calling him Barry.
Yes.
Which makes more sense to me. I was like, Barry would be better, but I guess it's too close and they didn't want to be sus. So, yeah, he's Barry.
I didn't even think of that. Like,
I mean, not Barry.
I'm not
Barney.
Harry.
I'm Barry. Too close. Too close.
Yeah, so he's Barney Weasley. He's like a cousin.
Yeah.
And there's even like,
and the aunt doesn't even know. Yeah, she's the just aunt like
was,
another
was
one.
Like, how many of you guys are multiplying? So, cousin Barney.
And it's kind of the same way in your family. I mean, how many of them are you?
I don't even know all.
How many of them are you?
I don't even know all of them. I don't even know all.
You know how long it took me to get to know your family? Because everybody's got different names too.
Just my immediate family. Yeah.
Because Bill is Boo.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Bubba.
Who's really cousin Bubba.
John.
Yes.
And then you have multiple Johns, multiple Lories.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
Yes, there's a lot, and then their offspring off of that is I don't even know them all. I don't even know all the ones that have kids and whatnot. But my mom does.
Donald.
My mom can keep
There's multiple Donalds.
My mom can keep all of them straight. Like, I don't know how she does that.
Yeah.
She's it's like magic. So Barney notices a lot of familiar faces at the wedding. Specifically, we have got members of the Order of the Phoenix mingling with friends and relatives of the Weasley family. Tonks and Lupin are there.
Yes.
And they were married recently at a very like low key ceremony, right? So why was it important that Bill and Fleur's wedding be such an event given everything that's going on in the wizarding world? Because when Tonks and Lupin did it was just kind of like, you know, eloping
like
to the Vegas chapel or whatever.
It was more of they didn't want any attention. No, I mean, Tonks isn't a big attention seeker, and Lupin definitely didn't want attention, and it was going to be controversial. There's an age difference. He's a werewolf. It was just like, let's just do it, and we're not going to invite anybody because we don't want to hear about it.
Okay.
Like, I feel like if they had a big wedding, there would be controversy, and people would say things and do things and be obnoxious. So it was easier to just have a quiet wedding, just the two of them and a few people, and kind of just keep it.
So I didn't know. The reason I asked that question is because I didn't know if this was kind of like, and I think I've got it, you know, somewhere in our, down in my notes here. I didn't know if this was more, there was more of a, like metaphor behind Bill and Fleur's wedding being such an event, kind of like, you know, we're not going to let the bad stuff that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
We're not going to let them show it that
they don't
that
have
we're affecting. It's affecting us.
The controversy around their relationship as like, it's not a good comparison.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So yeah, with Fleur and Bill, it's like, they're the young.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the next generation. Mm-hmm. They're the young ones. They're going to have a real life. They're going to have a proper wedding,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to let Voldemort and what's mm-hmm. going on in the world put a damper on that. Like, yeah. We're still going to live.
Yeah.
And a no lot matter
of,
what.
A lot of people felt like that during COVID, you know, whether they were doing it for the right reasons, you know, whether if you're doing it like every, I'm not going to say every, but most girls dream of having this wedding. And a lot of people didn't get to, you know, maybe didn't get to have the dream wedding that they wanted during COVID because
girls and their moms, don't forget.
Yeah.
Because moms are big about it.
And there was people that just did big gatherings because they didn't believe that COVID was real. But there were other people that said, yeah, I know this is happening. It stinks. But we are going to do our best to, you know, make the best of the bad situation. And the fact that you said that, like, yeah, they're young, they're the next generation, that kind of makes a lot of sense that, you know, they deserve this. They've, and especially, you know, everything that Bill has had to go through, you know, with the physical injuries and whatnot, mm-hmm. it's really unfair for them to not be able to have this moment and have everybody kind of there that loves them.
And it gives
show
everybody
up.
Like just a sense of normalcy, like
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
The world is kind of ending, but it's not ending, and we're still going to do things, and it's still going to be, you know.
And it was kind of like that during COVID when we were looking for little moments of joy, you know,
and normalcy.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, you know, the online meeting rooms and stuff really became prominent and prevalent. That's kind of how our, you know, weekly meeting of the inner circle started.
Yeah,
was during COVID.
I mean, we all knew each other,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't hang out like we do now,
yeah.
and we didn't we all knew each other in certain ways, but
yeah.
now everyone knows everyone in our group, and you know, it's
like I brought Kelly to you. Years before,
yeah, she lived near us,
and then Kelly brought Catherine to us, who she had known since she was little, and then I brought Jane to you, which through work, which is kind of weird how that happened too.
Because
she was teaching at a totally different school, and then became like an online teacher, but was stationed at my school, so it. If you know look back on that, that's like one of the things I look forward to every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out of something horrible. Came out of, you know, COVID times. Had COVID not happened, I don't know if that weekly thing, our weekly online get-togethers would have happened.
Yeah, we talked about just the other day on our Jackbox night. We call it Jackbox, but we're like on Zoom and we play Jackbox and other games, but it mm-hmm. just turned into the Jackbox group. But that, you know, I was just like randomly texting with Anastasia and Jennifer about books and was like, okay, I gotta go. I'm not gonna be reading tonight. I'm gonna be playing trivia. And they were like, what? I like trivia. Can I play? And I was like, do you really want to play? They're like, yes. And I just interacted with them through text message, and we just talked about books, and because we met at BookCon and
mm-hmm.
on book, you know, a book page online.
And how we found that thing that brings us joy in the middle of something horrible is kind of what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find something that brings everybody joy. Make you forget about how crappy the world is right now for just a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Get out, socialize, be happy, celebrate. You might even meet somebody, make a new friend, fall in love. Anything's possible.
So Harry gets to meet Elpheus Doge in person, Elpheus being the longtime friend of Dumbledore who wrote Dumbledore's obituary in the Daily Prophet. But that conversation was interrupted by another guest. You mentioned her a couple minutes ago. That being Auntie Muriel, a very interesting, outspoken relative of the Weasleys. What can you tell us about Muriel, and how is her opinion of Dumbledore's legacy different from Doge's?
I've got a little fun fact for you, Daniel.
Ooh, okay. Fun facts for no one tell.
She's 107.
Yeah.
And she throws this out several times in the chapter to, like, get her way, get to the front of the line, get a good spot, mm-hmm. get a good chair, whatever. But I just kept thinking, you know, in the wizarding world, that's not that old. Like, why are you bragging about 107? Like, I don't know. There's a chapter where the kids were trying to figure out how old Dumbledore was, mm-hmm. and they're like, I don't know, 150. Like, they don't. So when she kept saying, "I'm 107, give me that chair," I was like, "That's not that old."
Yeah, that's like middle age.
Yeah, but she's just crabby and wants to talk. and doesn't have like anything nice to say about anybody.
No. Everything's negative. Nothing makes it look like nothing brings her joy except for, you know, crapping on everybody else's joy.
Yeah, she was mad about Ron's hair. She was mad about Jenny's dress. She was mad about just everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was right.
So she kind of jumps into the conversation between Doge and Harry. And we know how Doge feels. We read the obituary in the Prophet. Mm-hmm. How is that different from Muriel?
She's got a lot of biases towards Dumbledore. I think she's old. I mean, obviously she's older. She has kind of driven everybody away, and so she doesn't have anything, I feel like, except for gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's really in on this gossip about Dumbledore and seems to have her little crew of oldies that she talks to and gets information from. But, she thinks there's big secrets and lots to tell. And
her opinions very much line up with the Rita Skeeter opinions that are going to
Rita
be
Skeeter.
That's going to be coming out in Rita's new book too.
That's how she sat down. She said, "Oh, you're talking about Rita Skeeter? I love Rita Skeeter. I read everything she writes." And it's like, "Oh, of course you do."
So she's repeating rumors that have recently appeared in like the tease for Rita Skeeter's new biography about Dumbledore. Muriel talks about Dumbledore having a troubled family history, including a sister who supposedly died under mysterious circumstances and a father who had to be imprisoned. So throughout
the... It didn't sound like mom's death was not mysterious either. Like,
yeah.
Seemed pretty mysterious as well.
Yeah. So throughout the series, Harry saw Dumbledore as an almost flawless mentor whose judgment he trusted completely.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing these accusations causes Harry to question how much he really knows about the man that has guided him for so many years. So we don't know at this point what is fact or fiction about Dumbledore's life, but if any of the bad stuff is true, even if one of the bad rumors is true.
So we're saying it was that he was involved in the dark arts.
Mm-hmm.
That he may or may not have killed his sister.
That his sister was a squib who was like imprisoned in the basement.
Yeah.
And not allowed to.
His family kept locked away.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do anything about it, supposedly. And then whether he did or didn't kill his sister, his brother did punch him in the face at the funeral and say that it was all his fault.
Mm-hmm. So if any of that is true, do you think learning about Dumbledore's past changes who he was? Like, not just in this book, but like in life in general. Is ignorance sometimes better than knowing the uncomfortable truths?
Well, in this case, I mean, we just talked about how long-lived wizards are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we do know how old Dumbledore is. I do not know off the top of my head. But people do things.
Yeah.
Especially when they're younger. They do stupid things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get involved in the wrong crowd. Your friends are doing things. You do things. The person that Harry knew is the person that Harry knew. Harry didn't know that past Dumbledore.
Do you think that if Harry finds out that any or all of these things are true, will he be able to accept those things and say, no, you know, that Dumbledore's still great. Dumbledore is still amazing. He's still my mentor. Or do you think that that kind of gives Harry some pause? Like, maybe I didn't really know this guy at all. Because that happens with us all the time with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
People that we, you know, grew up watching or listening to or enjoying, we find out about things that they did or things that they believe in that don't jive with our beliefs. And it does kind of sully our feelings about them and the way we look at them. I mean, J.K. Rowling is a perfect example of this. You know, somebody who we wouldn't be here doing this podcast if not for the art that she created. But in the last few years, she's been so polarizing with her political thoughts that some people have sworn off everything Harry Potter related. And some people said, well, I can separate the art from the artist. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to... I think it's really hard to do that. It is possible to separate the art from the artist, but you have to kind of think everybody messes up, and maybe I don't agree with everything that they believe in, but is it okay for me to still enjoy the music, or is it okay for me to still enjoy the movies, or is it okay for me to still enjoy the books or the paintings? You know, look back at some of the, the most famous artists of all time and how, you know, big pieces of junk they were in their lives and how they treated people. And it's hard to do. And I wonder if Harry is able to, if he finds out that some of these bad things are true, how he's going to be able to handle that.
I think. On one level, it's good for him to realize that Dumbledore's not perfect. Nobody mm-hmm. is. And yeah. It's not really fair to hold somebody to that kind of standard.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to screw up. Everybody's going to say something stupid once in a while that is offensive or what, you know, it just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. They didn't mean it. They've never said it before. I don't know why it came out, you know, whatever. But people just mess up.
Everybody's flawed, and I think that's one of the things that I really like about how the characters are written in this book, is that they're all written with flaws. Like, some of the things that Hermione has done for the greater good, mm-hmm. you know,
she wants to help the house elves, but the house elves don't really want to be helped.
Yeah.
With the exception of a few. Like, Dobby was fine, but that was also because he lived with being mistreated for so long. Others are fine just working at Hogwarts. That's great for them.
I think even our good characters in here. You know, Hagrid messes up all the time.
All the time. Like, big time. Like, big... Gives away secrets.
So,
big secrets.
Yeah, I think that's why I connect with the characters so much in these books, is that it's not just like clear. I mean, I can't say it's not clear. It is clear who the bad guys are here, mm-hmm. but it's not, nobody in this book is 100% bad or 100% good, because you even think about Voldemort. And think about the upbringing that he had. You know, he didn't have a chance to be a good person, you know. Everything that he had to go through and deal with growing up, he just didn't even have the opportunity to turn out to be, you know, on the positive side of things. And I think that's what well-written characters are, is that they have flaws. And it kind of humanizes them and connects you with them better. Maybe I kind of took the long way around of coming up to that conclusion, but I think that's kind of what I was trying to say. So Victor Crumb shows back up in this chapter. We haven't seen or heard from Victor since the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah, that kind of caught me off guard. I was like, wait, go back. Who just said hi?
How does Ron feel about Victor being at the wedding?
Oh, he is not happy. His ears are very red.
Mm-hmm. Matches his hair.
Yeah. It's like they just disappeared right into his hair.
So is it just Ron feels like... I know Ron and Hermione haven't really come out and just said their feelings for each other, but we kind of know what their feelings are for each other. We've been getting a lot.
Victor asks, are they together now? And Harry's like, kind
of. Harry's like, you know what? That's a good question.
I think he wouldn't even have gone with kind of or sort of, except for he knew that is probably the best thing to say to Victor. Yeah, don't get involved in that. They're they're together.
Yeah.
Like, just.
It's a very dysfunctional relationship.
Steer clear. But on that note, I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So then I guess Victor's eyes wander to Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks about Jenny, and Harry's just like, nope, she's taken. Big guy. Very jealous. Yeah. Don't want to mess with that. And I think there's another, it's not there, maybe it's an earlier spot in the story, in the chapter, where he's like reminiscing of time spent in hidden places in Hogwarts with Jenny. And I just, this is like one of my big pet peeves of the book, like that doesn't happen. Like, we didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
Until just now.
Yeah.
Like, she needed to build their relationship better.
It really is.
Like, it's already over. Yeah, and mentioned we that are just now hearing about these little trysts on the Hogwarts grounds. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, you've mentioned that in past episodes, like how poorly built the relationship is and how Harry kind of goes from, oh, you know what? Jenny's kind of cute, too. I long for her. My stomach yearns for
yeah, we go from her that love. To that. But then also, it's like, oh, we kissed. Now we broke up. Oh, yeah, we were hanging out all the time.
We had all these experiences together.
Making out all the time. We were just always together.
The long walks along the edge of the Forbidden Forest.
You just didn't see it. But we were. We did. We spent time together. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's maybe... Like, and maybe with the HBO show, maybe that will get developed more deeply. They've cast Peeves.
Yay!
Peeves will be a prominent person in the show, so we're already going to be able to, you know, flesh out the characters in these relationships a little bit more. And I think that the Harry-Jenny relationship, hopefully, will be one of those
things that gets tweaked.
Yeah, for sure.
For the better.
We also get to meet someone that we've heard a lot about. Xenophilius Lovegood. The editor of The Quibbler, who's here at the wedding with his daughter, Luna. And Xenophilius is dressed just as odd as you'd expect him to be. And has an unfamiliar symbol hanging around his neck. So at this point in the story, what can you tell us about the symbol? I know you probably can't say too much, but why is Victor so angry about what Xenophilius is wearing?
Victor is upset because he's gonna challenge him to a duel.
This old crazy man. It's just like going up, just like, I have a problem with this homeless guy. He's like, dude, what's going on?
This young, athletic, Quidditch star.
In his prime.
In his prime is going to go fight this old dude.
Old crazy guy.
At a wedding. So he's mad about the symbol. He says that it's Grindelwald's symbol, which is the dark wizard that was causing problems
Where Dumbledore had to take care of.
That Dumbledore had to take care of. But he never really came into, like, Harry's area. Not that Harry would remember anyway, because he was raised as a muggle. But because he was afraid of Dumbledore. So he didn't. That was, like, Dumbledore's turf. And Grindelwald stayed on his turf, causing problems. And apparently he'd gone to school where Victor went to school and had scratched that symbol onto the wall at school, and I guess nobody ever removed it, and it's still there, and other kids would see it and like, oh, it's the cool thing to do, and would write it on their notebooks and draw it on things and put it in other places, and it became a trend. Mm-hmm. And but Victor associates it with Grindelwald and being a dark wizard and murdering his grandfather.
Right.
So he's very upset.
So I wonder if Victor is aware of this, shouldn't other people at the wedding be aware of the meaning behind that symbol?
I don't think anybody's looking at and either.
Oh,
of the
I
love
think
goods.
Everybody's looking at it. Mr. Well, Lovegood.
Not very closely. They're just like, ugh. And like.
You think they're just good? Oh my goodness. And just kind of turning away.
Yeah.
I would just follow that guy around.
I mean, I didn't see the big deal. He's wearing all yellow. Okay, so what?
But you know, it's not just like the dress robes that everybody else is wearing just in yellow.
Yeah.
This dude's probably rocking some weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, I also wasn't thinking about everybody just being in dress robes. I guess I was more picturing the movie, and they're not. They're dressed up like you, like muggles would dress for a wedding. Somebody would come to a wedding wearing all yellow or a Cardinals baseball jersey and jeans. You know, people do things.
Was somebody at our wedding?
Yes, and they are in the back of every single photo, I swear to you.
Oh, we don't like the Cardinals anymore?
No, but every time I show a wedding photo,
were they a Cardinals
like,
baseball player?
Who's that?
Were they a baseball player?
No, they were not a baseball
How
player.
How do you know 100% certainty that they were not a professional baseball player?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Because no, they were younger.
Maybe like, they're really good.
No. Why do you not know this? You should know who it is.
As soon as you said that, it popped into my head about you being upset about it before.
Yeah.
I would need to see the pictures. I 100% won't know who it is.
It was
I don't even know who my family members are.
I'm not faulting people for being a little more casual, but...
I don't know. I think...
They are in the back of every single photo.
Yeah, but I guess... Maybe it's different between the... matter of fact, I know it's different between the bride and the groom. The bride has things that she wants to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whatever she wants, whatever Jess wants.
You wanted the music and you wanted your tux.
I wanted my tux to be all white.
And I thought that was crazy. But I was like, all right, he wants two things. I have to give him two things.
Did you not like the all white?
I loved it after the fact. But when you said that, I was like, that's weird.
Okay.
That's like wearing all yellow. Like, I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
Grooms don't wear white. But I loved it. And we looked like we matched.
Uh-huh.
And like in all the photos, it looks great because me and you are up there in all white. And
you probably thought because my skin is so white that
would
I would
disappear.
Just get fleshed out.
I don't know where he is.
like I had an invisibility cloak.
I suggest it. I highly recommend it. Anybody out there who's getting ready to get married, put your groom in a white tux because it looks really cool.
Yeah. I did look pretty dope.
In the group photos, you got all... Cause half the time, if the groomsman and the groom look... They look the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to stand out. I wanted everybody to
be
looking
like, oh,
at me.
That's
what every groom wants, is they want all eyes on them on their wedding day. I don't even remember what we were talking... Xenophilius.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in all yellow. Wearing a funky necklace. And Harry's just like, he's
harmless,
different. I don't even know that he knows what he's wearing. Like, he probably just found it in a junk drawer, a resale shop,
yeah.
And thought it looked cool. Like,
and Luna's kind of out there on the dance floor just dancing with herself and turning circles. And I think Harry even kind of goes, that's his daughter. Yeah. They're just weird. It's okay.
It's okay. We like them.
It's not a big
Let
deal.
It go.
And Victor's like got his wand like out. Like, and he's kind of like tapping himself, you know, nervously under the table. Like, I'm ready to fight this old man right now in the middle of this wedding over that symbol that he's wearing, because I know the history of that symbol, and I have a personal connection to the negative history of that symbol.
Yeah, this was a weird conversation, but we had to have this conversation. Because then it clicks in Harry's mind who Grindelwald was.
Mm-hmm.
He have one of his little connection, brain connection visions, and the name Grindelwald was mentioned, and he couldn't place it for a minute, and now it just all clicked in his brain.
Yeah, pieces are kind of coming together a little bit.
Yeah.
So the reception is actually quite nice. Kind of gives everyone a break from the terror that's been gripping the wizarding world lately.
I don't think
they should
have put birds in balloons.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
So the birds were inside the balloons?
Inside the balloons. Yeah.
But they were okay, because they...
Yeah, I mean, they probably weren't even real birds. You know how they make the little magical fake birds?
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess they weren't real birds. They're fake birds, and they were in the balloons.
But it kind of gives them a break from all the bad stuff that's been going on in the wizarding world lately. But for Harry, the chapter is really like an emotional roller coaster, and he's feeling doubts about whether Dumbledore was the great man that he always believed he was, while Harry's also kind of thinking that, you know, trying to process the almost impossible task ahead of him and his friends in destroying these Horcruxes without Dumbledore around to kind of guide him.
And missing those long walks with Jenny.
He yearns for them in his loins. But the wedding also, I think, on the positive side, it highlights the strength of the Weasley family. Even with the danger that's facing the wizarding world, they refuse to let fear keep them from celebrating Bill and Fleur's wedding. Mm-hmm. I think there's kind of something not just positive for them about that, but kind of more of a metaphor for how they're trying to cope with the way the world is right now. But we know, just when things seem to be going well, everything changes in an instant. A Silver Lynx Patronus shows up.
Yes.
And we just learned recently that you can use those as messengers.
They talk.
And the Patronus shows up carrying a message from Kingsley Shacklebolt. A member.
Was it like a voice recording?
Oh, no, yeah. Like a voice memo. Remember voice notes or call notes? What were those called? Back in the day, you could send like a little short, like you could record like a little short voice recording and send it like on the your house phone. God, we're dating ourselves here.
Oh, you already said how old we are. Well, I don't know how old we were when we got married, but you said how long we've been married.
So I told you today that 23 years married, mm-hmm. 46 years old, we've literally been married for half of our lives. And then the longer we stay married, it will become more than half of our mm-hmm. lives.
We've been together longer than half of our
lives.
We
have been, yeah. 25 years.
Yeah.
Crazy. The Patronus announces that the minister, or the Ministry of Magic, has fallen. Rufus Scrimgeour is dead.
He's dead?
And the Death Eaters are coming.
They're coming.
Big cliffhanger ending to our chapter. Just when we think we get a moment of
joy
and reprieve from the nastiness that's going on, the bad guys are coming. I've been enjoying doing some of these this or that questions with you.
Okay.
So I got some more for you today where I'm going to make you pick a side.
You're going to try.
No fence riding. Side A. Harry deserved complete honesty and transparency from Dumbledore, someone who expected Harry to risk his life. So Dumbledore expected Harry to risk his life. Harry deserved complete honesty and transparency. Or side B, Dumbledore's personal history wasn't relevant to Harry's mission, and he didn't need to know.
It's not relevant.
So side B.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Next one, side A. It was irresponsible to have the wedding right now. It gathered many important people in one vulnerable location. Or side B, people shouldn't stop living their lives even in times of war.
B.
Any reasoning for it, or just kind of what we said earlier?
What we said earlier. You have to keep living. People know the risks. They made their choice. They didn't have to come if mm-hmm. they were afraid, or if they, you know, had somebody that they're like, if bad things happen, this person can't protect themselves, or this person is going to be too slow, you know, mm-hmm. then don't bring them. You got to be smart and make your own choice.
Gotcha. Next one, side A. Rita Skeeter had every right to write a book about Dumbledore. The public has a right to know more about such an influential wizard. Or side B, Rita Skeeter exploited tragedy and relied on gossip. She should never have written this book.
I've been very non-fencing so far.
Yeah, well, it's only been like two questions.
Dang it. I felt like more.
Yeah, you act like I've been like making you pick a side for the last hour. It's been like 2 minutes.
I've been doing a really good job picking sides.
What's it going to be?
Okay, so I'll pick a side at the end, but I'm going to explain. I'm not opposed to somebody writing a story and giving information about Dumbledore and his life.
Even if it's negative.
Even if it's negative. Rita Skeeter, however, has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that she cannot be trusted and that she will make up things. So it should not be her.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to go with B because she can't be, she shouldn't be allowed to do this.
Yeah, I think she kind of, with the whole, you know, transforming into an animal to spy on people and, you know, collect information in a dishonest way. I think that she has kind of ruined her journalistic reputation. But for some people, that endeared them more to her.
Yeah. I'm not saying that endeared me, but I would be okay with it if it was still the truth. But
right.
She was manipulating it. Like, sometimes you gotta go undercover to get the scoop.
Sure.
That's fine. But she twisted things up and manipulated them, had them appear like the thing with Hermione.
She wasn't reporting all facts.
She was mixing, totally making things up.
Putting her own spin in there, mixing in opinion and presenting it as fact. So you're
because
not okay. You're not okay with that. You're okay with the facts,
yes.
Even if the facts are not pleasant.
Not pleasant, and maybe not even gotten in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But people do.
She's had a history of stepping over the line when it comes to presenting fact or fiction as fact. She's a perpetual line stepper.
But also, we're going too far back with Dumbledore's story. Like, if it was something he was doing right now, like, if it was about what's going on with Harry and Voldemort and the things that are going on right now, that might be relevant. The public might need to know. But going all the way back to his past, those things don't matter anymore.
Interesting, because that kind of leads into my next question.
Okay.
Side A, you keep looking at your watch. You got somewhere to be?
No. Sabrina's texting me.
Okay.
Oh, actually, somehow I accidentally turned the sound on. And so it's been making noises today.
Uh-huh.
And apparently I just closed my move ring and it went tee 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 tee. And so
what did it go?
Tee 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 tee. And so then I turned it off. But now Sabrina's texting me. Kind of like that. It was a little more chirpy. No, it did not do that.
Side
A.
That
would not be a good sound to encourage you to close your rings.
It is fair to judge someone on mistakes they made decades ago because past actions reveal character. Or B, people should not be judged by who they be. Or people should be judged by who they became, not mistakes of the past. This is an interesting one for me because I have a history of holding people's mistakes against them years later.
Okay, but you're talking real world, and I'm going to go with you on this because Scorpio and I hold a grudge.
Oh,
like,
God.
I
am so petty. And
but you're saying years.
Uh-huh.
This is Dumbledore. We've already established he's like 150.
Right. So this was decades. Like,
yeah. And also, like, you got to go by age, too. Like, something you did as a kid or as a teen, I feel like that at some point, like you hit 30, that gets wiped clean.
So 30's the cutoff.
Somewhere in there where you finally stop acting stupid and act like an adult. which doesn't apply to me. I was an adult since I was 5. But anyway. But so it depends on the person, too. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some people who there's current generation that is like 30 and they're still trying to act like they're 18. Mm-hmm.
I personally know several people that are in their late 30s to early 40s who still want to act like they're 21.
In college, you know? Yeah.
And
I'm like, no, you're not. You're but not
when
in
somebody,
anymore.
When somebody acts that way, when they are in their early 30s, and then 5 years later, they tell, we got to stop talking about that. You got to stop bringing that up. I've changed.
No, you. That's still in the window.
Grown person.
Yes.
You were grown folk.
You're grown and you were still acting like that, and that's ridiculous and you should be held accountable.
I do. So you kind of made me, and we've talked about this exact topic before, mm-hmm. with people in our lives. And you've kind of convinced me that there might not be like a hard line cutoff, but we hear about some of these people that get in trouble for something they posted on social media when they were like 14.
Yeah.
And now they're like 35 and they're getting canceled for something that they, you know, put on social media when they were a teenager. You don't know what the situation was that they were in. You don't know, you know, what their life circumstances put them in that situation, and they were, you know, so desperate to have friends that they wanted to act like those friends that influenced them that way, and they didn't have any other, you know, option but to adapt to those people or survive.
Or they were a jerk. That is a possibility too, but I'm saying saying you don't know.
Yes.
Like both sides.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been a very horrible situation, or yeah. they could have been a jerk.
But they're
a decent kids, person now.
You know? And we're not going to say, like, you know, in the United States, it's like, oh, you're 18, you're an adult. Which scientists have proven that your brain's not even done developing, yes. until you're in your 20s. So, no, you're not an adult just because the law came up with this magical number. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when, you know, they say you have to be 16 to drive. Okay, why 16? You know,
you can go to work.
You have to be 18 to vote or and join the military and smoke cigarettes. Why 18? You know, why is 18 the number?
Picked a number.
Oh, but you only have to be 18 to smoke cigarettes, but you have to be 21 to, you know, drink alcohol. Why is 21 the number? It's not the 21's not the number in every country.
No.
The world hasn't decided that this is the number. Even state to state, you can get married without parental approval at, you know, certain age, like 14 in some states, but in other states it's 17. And who decided that? Just some random group of people decided that. So who are you? Who are we to decide that the mistakes you made before this number don't count toward the person you become? Like you said, everybody's case is different. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But if you had to pick one, are you going with side A, it's fair to judge someone by the mistakes they made decades ago, or people should be judged on who they became, not past mistakes of the past?
Who they became.
Okay. So if we're talking just like 2 years ago, I can judge them.
Yes, absolutely.
But if it's like 20 years ago, I can't.
Yes.
Okay. Right on. A couple more here. Side A.
Depending on their age, were they an adult those whole 20 years?
Interesting.
Because,
okay.
So like, there if somebody are, like, parents who make really bad mistakes.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, like a parent that abuses their child, the child's grown up, they're 20 now, and they're like, you know what, I don't really want to forgive you. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
You do not have to.
Gotcha.
That they were an adult and they made a bad decision. They might be a completely different person. They might be remorseful. You don't have to.
And I do this just to get your opinion, just so we have something to talk about. Other people might not agree with you on that, and that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Side A, lies are more dangerous than rumors because they intentionally deceive. Or side B, rumors are more dangerous than lies because people spread them without knowing the truth. What's more dangerous, flat out lies or rumors, which may or may not be true?
I'm going to say lies.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, they intentionally deceive.
I think so, too.
And rumors usually come with a caveat of, I heard. Mm-hmm. And we all played telephone when we were a child. And what you hear is not necessarily what happened. We saw this firsthand. We will not go into details. We saw this firsthand on our trip a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Something happened. We heard from two people who were there.
Mm-hmm.
Told us the same story, and then we heard about the story again from somebody else, completely different, again from somebody else.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
And we just sat there and went, oh really, that's what happened? Mm-hmm. We knew that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. So I feel like some people want to believe the rumors. They want to jump in, they want to be involved, they want to spread it, they want to be the source of the gossip, they want to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people, and even those people, know it's probably not true, because they got the, did you hear? I heard blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you that if it's a lie and you're telling this lie purposely to deceive people, that's messed up. If you're coming in with the caveat that it's a rumor, I have the choice to
believe it or not, or take, or do my own
research,
or believe some of it but not all of it,
or look further into it. But if you're telling me this 100% happened and it's a lie, that's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Because you're intentionally doing that to try to hurt someone. And if you come to somebody and say, this is what happened, this is 100% true, that person's probably going to believe you. Mm-hmm. And that's you intentionally doing that to either protect yourself at somebody else's expense or do harm to somebody else. So I agree with you that lies are more dangerous than rumors. Last one. Side A, the wedding is simply a backdrop. The chapter's real purpose is to begin dismantling Harry's idealized image of Dumbledore. Or B, the wedding is the emotional centerpiece. It highlights love, family, and resilience.
Oh, absolutely not. A.
And you even kind of said that, too, earlier. That
we had to have the conversation.
We had to have this little conversation.
Crumb had to show up and have this conversation, and we had to do this, and we had to do that.
We had to have Doge come together with Auntie Muriel.
We even had to have that moment where he reminisces about his long walks with Jenny, just to remind us that it happened.
Or to tell us for the first time
that it happened.
The wedding's just a supporting character in this chapter.
I like to write, and, you know, I've nothing published, but I've written a couple of stories. Yeah, these things are necessary. You have to, like, okay, I need this.
How do I get these two people in the
same room? It needs to happen. So what can they do?
How do I get these two people in the same room? A wedding.
Let's have a wedding. Lots of people will be there. I can do several things. You can check several things off your list.
So the wedding is just the delivery method for the
Oh, we had to start talking about the symbol and Grindelwald and all the things.
Yeah, we were stoking a lot of different fires in this chapter.
A lot of sparks.
Through the wedding.
The wedding.
Yeah.
That we didn't spend much time on.
All right. No new emails this week. Well, I can't really say no new emails. No new questions this week. But we did get a decent amount of responses to our question from last time.
Oh, yes.
When I asked, who would you send as Earth's representatives to greet aliens coming to our planet? We know that the kangaroos in Australia are going to be the last line of defense.
Yeah. And the soldiers.
As a result of that, proof that our phones are listening to us, kangaroos have been all over my suggested video feed the last few weeks. So I got four here because I said the best one I was going to send Broomsticks and Butterbeer gift pack.
Yeah.
Send all kinds. I got t-shirts. I got books. I got stickers, buttons, bookmarks, all that good stuff. You're going to get a lot of good stuff. I'm going to give you the four finalists, mm-hmm. and you're going to give me the winner that's going to be getting.
I have to pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So the first
We're
one.
Doing this fair. You're not going to tell me who sent these, right?
You don't want me to give the names?
No. You can't tell me who sent it, because then that could be bias.
But you don't know any of these people.
Oh, I don't know any of these people.
Why would you know any of these people?
I don't know. Didn't our friend send some?
I mean, I consider all these people our friends.
Yeah. Bobby.
Nothing from Bobby.
He sent it on the thing. On Facebook.
Oh, okay. I forgot about what Bobby put on there.
Yeah, he sent it on Facebook. In Facebook? That's, I don't think that.
Yeah, is it in Long Island or on Long Island?
On. Very adamant about that. It's just on. Bubby!
Did you find it?
Yeah. He said Neil deGrasse Tyson,
mm-hmm.
Michelle and Barack Obama, and Jason Kelsey.
Okay.
He didn't give an explanation. Yes. There we go.
So here's
what I'm finally thawing out from the butterbeer. That's not working.
Here's your mouth had become so attuned to the flavor of the butterbeer that it doesn't know how to act now that it's leaving your system. So here's what I'll do. Bobby's been such a great listener to ours since the beginning. So Bobby, if you want to just send me your address, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com, or Facebook Messenger, or on Instagram at BroomsticksB Podcast, or at BroomsticksB on X or Blue Sky. Just send me your address and what t-shirt size you wear and what your house is, and I'll send you some stuff.
Because you had suggested we send Bobby.
Yes.
And he said, please do not send me to the aliens. And I said, Dan was pretty confident you could handle it.
I'm confident in Bobby's
But I did
abilities.
Say we should ask you first, and he said no, and then that's when he gave us his four alternates.
So Bobby's been on this ride with us for a long time. So Bobby, send me your address, t-shirt size, and your house, and I'll send you some gear just because you're awesome. The official four here. Are you ready?
Yes.
First one comes from Sue in Neptune News, Virginia.
Hi, Sue.
Sue suggested Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman.
Mm.
Danny DeVito.
Mm.
And Shaquille O'Neal.
I don't think Shaquille would fit in whatever.
What are you? Are you envisioning like a pod that we're
sending
them
up? Yeah, a pod that we're sending up.
Why can't they just like get beamed up or?
We don't have the technology meet it like for that, but a pod we could probably do.
Well, let's not judge based on...
I'm just first reaction.
Let's not create a backstory for this. So just judge based on the person that they pick.
I like backstory.
Nicolas Cage, Morgan Freeman, Danny DeVito, Shaquille O'Neal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Second one comes from Karen in Twin Falls, Idaho. She suggested Samuel L. Jackson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Adam Sandler... And Post Malone.
That's...
So Samuel L. Jackson, Arnold, Adam Sandler, Post Malone.
Uh-huh.
Tina in Amarillo, Texas.
Aren't you proud of me? I know who these people are.
I was going to ask you, do you know who all these people are?
Because
you don't,
I don't do
If I showed
names.
You a picture of these people, you would know them. But
yes. But so far, I know all these people.
Okay, good. I was worried about Danny DeVito.
I know who Danny DeVito is.
Okay. Stupid me. Tina in Amarillo, Texas says that she would just send the Backstreet Boys because if we ended up losing them, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Ooh, wow.
So she's sending them
as... I am not a huge Backstreet Boys
fan. As fodder.
Fan, but I am afraid for you now.
You're afraid the Backstreet Boy fandom is going to come after
Tina? They're going to come
Tina?
For her.
I think
Boo is going to come for her.
Yeah. I think
your brother.
Yeah. My brother saw the Backstreet Boys on two different continents.
Yeah.
I think Tina will be fine. And then the last one comes from Patricia in Grand Island, Nebraska. She wants to send Snoop Dogg.
Huh?
Martha Stewart.
Well, they are besties.
Flava Flav.
Yeah.
And Weird Al Yankovic.
Ooh. You had me up until that point.
Not a Weird Al fan, huh?
No, I don't know. I don't know about him.
So, real quick. Sue says Nicolas Cage, Morgan Freeman, Danny DeVito, Shaquille O'Neal. Karen says Samuel L. Jackson, Arnold, Adam Sandler, and Post Malone. Tina says the Backstreet Boys, and Patricia says Snoop, Martha Stewart, Flava Flav, and Weird Al, who is going to be getting the prize pack, in addition to Bobby, who's going to be getting some good stuff, too.
I'm going to go with the first set, with the caveat that we figure out how to get Shaquille O'Neal's big
Sue!
Up there.
In Neptune News, Virginia, you are the winner of the little impromptu contest that we put together. So, Sue, I will be in contact with you via the email address that you sent to us. You sent it to broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com, like everybody can if they want to connect with us. And, Sue, I'll get back to you on via the email.
Is he going to take some of his chicken up there?
Who?
Shaquille.
Oh, I was like, Colonel Sanders?
No.
He didn't make the list.
Because we went to his chicken place.
Shaq does have a chicken place. He also is part owner of the Papa John's franchise.
Oh.
And you're,
so
big,
could take some
you're
pizza.
A big fan of the
he
PJs.
He can take pizza and chicken and like
a nice little offering.
Little, like Thanksgiving meal with the...
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of like when the Native Americans and the Pilgrims...
Yeah, got together.
Kind of got together, yeah.
I like it. So he's going to have his big picnic baskets and some boxes of pizza.
I like it. So, Sue, you're getting a prize pack. I'll be in contact with you via the email and to get your address and shirt size and house information and all that good stuff. But thanks to everybody who emailed in. And thanks, everybody, for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We really, really appreciate it. No matter what platform you're on, do us a favor. If you can leave a review, that's great. If you can leave a star rating, that's great. If you could share it with your friends, that's great. If you could, if you've gotten swag from us before, we've given away dozens and dozens and dozens of t-shirts at the various comic cons we've worked and sending out swag through the mail. Just wearing those in public as a conversation starter is a big help for us to kind of expand our brand and to get more ears on the podcast. So we appreciate everybody for downloading, listening, and subscribing. Special thank you to the inner circle of Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, Jenny, and Emma. So just because we love them just a tiny bit more than than everybody else doesn't mean that we don't have a lot of love for everybody who has been joining us on this journey, or somebody who is just now catching up and joining us on this journey through the Harry Potter novels. This has been Broomsticks and Butterbeer. We will be back next time to talk about Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Until then, be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
See ya.
Bye.
Gather around, wizards. It's time to explore a world full of magic. We're opening the door with Dan and Jessica. We're here for the ride on Broomsticks and Butterbeer. Come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the Sorting Hat to the wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight. It's time for the journey we're starting tonight.
and butterbeer. Let the magic flow. Join the discussion. There's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. Through the pages we wander side by side. In every adventure we take it in stride. The laughter and lessons, the love and the pain. With each chapter shared we'll never be the same. Let's raise our glasses to the stories we share. In the world of Potter there's magic everywhere. Diagon Alley to the Forbidden Forest, exploring this universe, we're never the worst. Every twist and turn, oh, it makes us feel the power of friendship, that's the real deal. So don't miss a moment, let's savor the fun. With broomsticks and butterbeer, the magic's just begun. So here's to the chapters, both old and new. With every spell cast, a world that feels true. On broomsticks and butterbeer, we'll see you next time. With laughter and magic, we're full.